I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're talking about all things under his feet, about how God has put all things under the feet of Jesus. And we have this amazing opportunity that we can be one with him. It says, we're going to see that it says God will soon crush all of our enemies under our feet as well, because we are one with him. But we're going to get started with prayer. And then we'll get into this a little bit more. We always start with these daily communions. We start with our 30-day prayer challenge, which is about a two-minute long prayer, mostly a scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1, which is actually where this idea of God putting all things under his feet comes from. And then it also has some pieces from the prayer of Jabez. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to examine ourselves, to get still and listen for God's leading in our life before we get into our time of communion today. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families and friends, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I just ask that you would enlighten our hearts to know more about this that you've done, where you put all things under his feet and we are in him. Just teach us more about this, Father. Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and we're a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So let's take a couple minutes to go through the other half of prayer here. We're going to start with the first thing we need to do is get ourselves positioned in the light. And it's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. So receiving forgiveness from God. If there's anything you just need to talk with God about, bring to him, receive that forgiveness. And then that forgiveness has to flow through you. So we got to make sure we're forgiving ourselves. We're letting go. We're releasing those things from ourselves. We're not condemning ourselves and beating ourselves up. We were just talking about yesterday. If we don't condemn ourselves, if our hearts are not condemning us, we'll have confidence before God. We got to get rid of that condemnation, all that pressure we're putting on ourselves. And then we got to walk in that same grace and forgiveness that God has given us, letting go and releasing the things that other people have done to us and letting those things go and letting that forgiveness flow. That brings us into the light. And then we can stay focused on the light. You can begin to write down some things. What are you grateful for? Over the last 24 hours, what are some things that you are grateful for? And you can begin to write a few of those things down. If you need to pause the recording, you can. And then what progress did you make? Often we get focused on how far we have to go still. We're here and we got all this distance to go. But I want you to think about, what progress did you make? How far have you come already? That builds some encouragement. It keeps us focused on the light. It keeps you focused on what's going well. You stay focused on what you're grateful for, focused on how far you've come. That keeps you encouraged and it keeps you grateful, keeps you focused on the light. So you can begin to write a few of those things down. And then, how is your emotional state over the last 24 hours? Our emotions are indicators. They're feedback, letting us know what's going on in our heart, letting us know what we're focused on, letting us know what the TV screen of our imagination is playing all day long. Our emotions give us feedback into those things so that we can make adjustments and corrections. So how is your level of just peace and joy over the last 24 hours? And I like to think of peace as my indicators, letting me know what I'm focused on and whether or not I'm single-minded in my faith. Sometimes problems come at us in life and we begin to focus on the problems and begin to magnify the problems and meditate on the problems, and they begin to grow bigger in our minds and it steals our peace. It sends us into stress and worry and anxiety and all these types of things. But I'm single-minded with my focus on God and magnifying Him, focusing on Him, making Him great in my mind. That He's bigger than the problems, that He loves me, that nothing's impossible for Him. He's putting all things under my feet. That gives you peace. He's given us this supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. And then I like to think of joy as my indicator of presence, that I'm living in the present moment and I'm aware of God's presence with me. I'm not dwelling on the past, looking at the bad things that have happened. I'm not worried about the future. Living in the present moment, I'm doing the things, as we'll talk about here in a second, that I know to do, and I'm executing them with presence and joy. Joy is my indicator that I'm present, because in God's presence, there's fullness of joy, and I'm aware of God's presence with me. So if there's anything that's stealing your joy, you can, or your peace, you can bring these areas to God. Just a very simple prayer. It says, Father, forgive me, because we're supposed to be casting all of our cares onto Him. Forgive me for worrying or stressing about this, letting this steal my joy. Thank you that you're with me and that you are more than enough. And what you put in me is more than enough. Help me to tap into and to cultivate what you put inside of me so that when these things come at me again, I just flow right through them with peace and joy. You pray that very simple prayer. You'll see a shift, I believe, in one day of how you respond to things when they come at you. And then what do you know to do? Do you have something to track along or to write with? What do you know to do? If we're going to make a plan for the next 24 hours, what things need to get done first? These might be administrative things, things around the house, things in your workplace. What needs to happen today? What things need to get done? And then what do you want to happen? What things would you want to happen today? Maybe God is prompting or stirring some things in your life. What are the things that you know to do? Not the things that you're fuzzy on or uncertain about, because as you get further out in time, you'll know what to do then. You can do what you know to do today and execute it with a good attitude. Do it cheerfully, do it joyfully, trusting that God is there with you, helping you and equipping you and empowering you to do those things in His strength, and that you don't have to do them alone. And you can do some things that you might normally hate doing, but you can do them with peace and joy and confidence in Him. And so making your plan, what do you know to do today? And then focus on executing that plan and doing it with a good attitude, trusting that God's with you. And then what are you learning? What's the most important things that God's been teaching you or showing you over the last 24 hours? And I like to think of two areas. One side is adjustments and corrections. And those are usually made to be a good steward of what you're currently doing. What adjustments and corrections do you need to make in those things? If you stay tuned in, and you can pause the recording for just a couple minutes. Get still and listen for God's leading. And then on the other side, what are the new things that He's teaching you? What are the new directions He's talking to you about in your life? It's His voice that leads us out of the jaws of distress into this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. And it's His voice that leads us. But we have to take the time to get still and to listen and to follow His leading. And then when we know what to do, like I say, do what you know. When you know what to do, then you got to take action and take it quickly. Take action and take it quickly. But this morning I woke up, I'm just thinking about this verse, all things under His feet. And when we pray our prayer challenge prayer, we're reading this verse from Ephesians. I'm going to move my screen a little bit here. Reading this verse from Ephesians, this prayer from Ephesians that we pray every day. It says Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and God placed all things, not some things, all things under His feet, talking about Jesus, and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So He put all things under His feet and made Him to be the head of the body. Then 1 Corinthians 15, 25 through 28 says, Jesus must reign until He has put all of His enemies under His feet. So this is this interesting thing. It's already happened spiritually. It's already happened spiritually. He's put all things under his feet. It's done in the spirit. But now we're seeing it fulfilled. You look in Hebrews, it talks about, it says that this has happened. I think it's Hebrews chapter 2. I think it's maybe 8 and 9. It says that this has already happened, but now we got to wait for the fulfillment of it. God's already put it in place. Now we got to wait for the fulfillment of it. It says he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. And when it says everything has been put under him, it's clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. And when he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now notice here, in Ephesians, Christ is going to be the fullness of him who fills all in all. And why is he doing that? Christ is going to be the fullness of him who fills all in all, so that when the time comes, God may be all in all. Christ, Jesus is the go-between. Christ is the go-between. He's the bridge between us and God the Father. And he's doing it so that God may be in all of us. So then we got a couple more verses here. This is David talking. This is Psalms 110, verse 1. He says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And so here's where we have to make an important transition. Jesus has been seated at God's right hand on the throne in heavenly places, sitting next to God. He's sitting there, and God has put all things under his feet. Okay, so first we have to understand that God, Jesus is now seated at God's right hand, and he's put all things under Jesus's feet so that one day God can fill all in all. Jesus fills all in all so that one day God can fill all in all. And then we have to make an important step in our mind. We have to make an important transition that we are in him. Jesus prays in John, I think it's 17 maybe, that we would be one with him. Ephesians 2:6 says that we have been seated at God's right hand with Jesus. We've been made one with him. We are found in Christ, not having a righteousness of our own. We're found in Christ. We're one with him. When God sees us, he sees us in Christ. So we're also seated. Ephesians 2:6, we've been seated at God's right hand with Jesus. We're one with him. I once had I guess you can call it a vision. And I'm sitting there and I'm envisioning and I'm sitting at God's right hand. I'm sitting at God's right hand and I'm looking around. I don't see Jesus. And I turn to God and I'm kind of getting flustered a little bit. I'm like, Jesus should be here. Where is he? Where is Jesus? And I turn to God. I say, God, where is Jesus? And he looks at me and he says, you're in him and he's in you. Becoming one with him. So we're sitting and we're waiting. Now we're sitting and we're resting and we're waiting for God to make our enemies a footstool for our feet, crushing them under our feet. Now, look, here's what it says. The Apostle Paul, in the last chapter, I believe, of Romans, in his closing remarks, I believe it is, he tells the people, and the God of peace, he's the God of all peace. He's the God of all hope, the God of joy, the God of all grace. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, not Jesus's feet, your feet, because you are one with Jesus. You are one together. He will soon crush him under your feet. So we're just going to take communion over this today. And we're just going to be receiving this, that this is what God says he wants to do. That we've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. Jesus has made the head of all things for the church, and we are in him. He's seated at God's right hand, and we're there with him. And God's going to make his enemies a footstool for his feet. And we are in him. And the God of all peace is going to soon crush Satan under our feet as well. I don't know what the timeline is, but it says soon here. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this. To these amazing promises that you've given us. That in Christ, all of the promises are yes and amen. Every time we take communion, it's just this opportunity to meditate on God's just steadfast, unfailing love. He's loved us so much that he was willing to send his one and only son to die for us. And that's what made all of this possible. That's what made all of this possible. If he would do that, if he would send Jesus to die for us, how would he not freely give us all things? He sent him to die for us, it says, when we were enemies of God. We wanted nothing to do with God for a lot of people. And he was still willing to, he loved us so much, he was willing to send his one and only son. How much more will he do now that we're seeking him and seek to honor and please him in our lives? And you meditate on how much he loves you and that love never fails. It says it's unfailing love. It never fails. And God is love. And you put that together with his mighty works. The book of Psalms says to meditate on God's unfailing love and to meditate on his mighty works, that nothing is impossible with him. And when you put those two things together, it's very powerful because I believe it gives you, when you begin to look at those two together, it gives you this heart that understands his grace. In Colossians 1:6 says that the gospel bears fruit in your lives ever since the day you heard and understood God's grace. Since you understood it, I believe when we understand his love and his mighty works together, and he's the God of all grace, he's working continually for our good. When you understand that, gives you a heart to understand, which leads to what? Knowing him. John 17:3, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they would know you, God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent, that we would know him. We have this opportunity when we take communion just to grow in our knowledge of him. And I believe as we see, as God puts things under our feet, he always causes us to triumph. He causes us to overcome everything that comes our way. I believe that helps us to know him more, to know his heart, to know his goodness, to know his love for us, his intentions for us, to just know him better, his rhythms, his patterns of who he is. And that's eternal life, Jesus says, his personal relationship with him. So, Father, we just thank you for this bread and what it represents. We just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he said, take it. Told his disciples, take it. Receive. God is with you. He's for you. He has seated you at his right hand. It's happened in the spirit already. Haven't seen it happen physically yet, but soon you're going to see him crush Satan under your feet. Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. This new covenant, we've got God with us. We can have this covenant relationship with him. I've been looking at some things just lately of contracts and agreements and just talking about a contract that is fully ratified, fully established, fully in place. It's in force. God has given us this communion as a reminder. God has established this new covenant with us. And when we receive it, taking communion is a symbol of we're receiving this covenant. We're getting into covenant with God. And he's going to do everything he can to help us. That's part of the covenant. Our role is to stay tuned into him, to focus on him, to believe in him, and to love people. We keep our part of the covenant, and he's doing everything he can to work for our good. He makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called to his purpose. So we just thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. So now it's simply about walking it out. How are you going to do that? We've been talking lately on our partner Zooms in the Abundant Life Blueprint about just sitting with God, taking a few minutes each day in your mind and imagination. Just begin to visualize. I'm seated at God's right hand. Just sitting with him, sitting in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. Just taking a few minutes just to get still and to sit with him, to rest with him. And notice, he makes your enemies, not you. He does it. God does it for you. God of all peace, he will soon crush Psalms 110, I will make your enemies a footstool. God will do it. Our job is to focus on him, to rest in him, to stay tuned into him, sit with him, and he will do it. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.